Hello and welcome to the Money Marketing Podcast. I'm Kimberly Dondo, Digital Content Manager, and we are back for another end of month podcast. We're near the end of the year. It's getting there, guys. But before we start, can everyone introduce themselves?
Hello, my name is Robert Mustatere, reporter.
Hi, I'm Mike Climes, acting editor.
Hi, I'm Lois Valerie, chief reporter.
Hi, I'm Maria Merricks, features editor.
Okay, so yeah, we've got a new voice that's come back, but she hasn't had a chance to be in any of our actual end of month podcasts since we launched them. So Maria, where have you been?
I had a baby.
Yeah.
Been out of the game for a year or so.
Yeah.
But
doing important things, important life things.
Busy, yes. But no, nice to be back. And I came back to a tumultuous political climate. So that was a great way to ease in. I think I spent my first week rewriting. So that was good.
Yeah, you came during that like Liz Truss quasi time.
That's it. Yeah. So everything that I filed was out of date within seconds. But that's fine. I think the past few weeks it's kind of slowed down a little bit, and then
now you can ease in.
Yeah, I feel like I'm back to it.
Okay. Yeah.
But don't say that, because then everything will just go crazy again.
No. Yeah, they can't
switch
2022.
Oh, they can.
But on that, let's get started with what we were speculating in the last podcast,
which was the budget. We talked a little bit about it. It had been pushed back when we recorded. So we had quite a lot of very popular stories that we did covering the budget. And I think quite a few of them were from either Lois or Mike.
The two most popular ones, I think, were from JB.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, JB. He's not with us today, so that's why I completely blanked.
So I'm filling in for JB. So if you wonder why I don't sound like JB and you're
confused. You don't sound like a stern French man.
I'm not with JB. Yeah. So that would explain the sudden change in accent.
Yeah.
So yeah, JB did a story on how the government had halved the capital gains tax allowance. Mm-hmm. It'll be £6,000 from April 2023. Mm-hmm. And that attracted a lot of attention from financial advisors, because the CGT allowance is, I think, used to tax plan for a lot of clients. That's right. A very useful tool. So that got nearly 30,000 page views. Mm-hmm. And then the next one that he did was about halving the tax-free allowance for dividends. Mm-hmm. So that was the other one, which was really, really popular.
Yeah.
I guess also related to financial planning purposes, but the team did loads of great content on the autumn statement. So,
and you guys are out there talking to people within the industry. I am not. Well, I am sometimes, but I don't tend to talk to them about political stuff, I guess. So what was the reaction that you got from people? Mike, Lois, Momadou?
I didn't really talk to people about politics either. Uh-huh. So let's go one of the others.
Okay, Momadou, what reactions did you hear? Were they positive, negative, subpar?
I mean, I guess it's all of the above, I think.
It depends what side you are.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of like, mix, you know.
Yeah.
I think the kind of like the chaos of the Liz Truss.
Yeah, you know, the last couple of months.
Yeah, but you know, mm-hmm. This was kind of like a very tame affair.
Uh-huh.
You know, so people kind of like welcome it, you know, I mean, kind of going back to normality.
Yeah, back to normality.
I think that was highly welcoming.
Definitely. I'm quite glad that November wasn't as tumultuous. It seemed like we're kind of normal. But
again, don't say it.
Well, November at this point has ended. I'm not going to say it because okay, so let's talk about the November issue more in depth. Who would like to start? Lois, you had the cover.
I did. I had the cover, and it was all about what will the future financial advice client look like. It was mm-hmm. a really interesting one to write. Mm-hmm. I think I probably said it in the last month's podcast, but it's the sort of key point is, I think most people who aren't in the financial advice profession or aren't close to it. So for example, before I joined money marketing, my preconception was, and I think it's the same for a lot of people, that the usual or most financial advice clients are mostly men, mostly middle-aged upwards, mostly white, mostly millionaires looking to become billionaires, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
To help them get there. And as I said in my feature, obviously that is the case for a lot of clients still, but we're also getting clients that aren't necessarily that. So millennials and below, millennials, and I can never remember the generation names. Mamadou, you're quite good at the generation names.
Generation Z or Z,
and then alpha. And even alpha, although, yeah, like I said, they probably haven't got a financial advisor yet at the age of about 10 to 12. But yeah, there's all this new, what's the word, contingent of advice clients coming through who might not have millions, but still need financial advice. Or they might. There's quite a lot of millennial millionaires I read, largely because of massive developments in tech and like people becoming tech entrepreneurs and so on. And so the feature actually was based on a piece of research done by AdvisorStream and Dow Jones, which found, even though I think we did the same, we did a survey of our readers and the majority, and it asked, who do you think, which sort of age category benefits most from financial advice or feels that they would value financial advice most. And a lot of our readers unsurprisingly said 55 to 65, that sort of age bracket.
Yeah.
Whereas this piece of research done by AdvisorStream and Dow Jones found that it's actually the sort of millennial category and even 18 to 25 year olds who are the most likely to value financial advice. So
yeah.
It's quite interesting. Because
that's when you start making mistakes. Like, catch them before they start getting set in their ways.
Yeah, exactly. So it talks about that, how the next generation of advisors is probably going to need to change their business models to fit with the new generation of clients. So, and as I say, I don't think I wrote it in the feature, but I definitely said it last month. That is, unless the world ends, because we will get killed by AI robots. Or something.
Or anything at this point.
Or just get made redundant because of technology, and then we'll get so bored.
There is no AI that's going to be as original as you, Lois. Come on.
Well, that's very kind. But yeah, that was my main piece in the November issue. I had to check the cover there. It's November.
Yeah, I know. The months have just rolled, because we're about to talk about December in a bit. But before we do that, Maria, I'm going to come to you, because I know that I don't want you to like get super overwhelmed. But was there anything that stood out for you in November, obviously coming back and coming back to the time period we're in and everything? Was there anything that stood out for you in particular?
Well, one observation I made, which I did generally kind of from day one when I was back, is that everything's changed, but nothing's changed in this industry, you know? And this is my second maternity leave. And in between mat leaves was COVID. So, I feel like I've been out of it for quite a while. But something that struck me, one piece that we did get, and it was interesting to see it sandwiched in between all the budget content in our most read this month. But that was a piece from Tim Sargeson talking about percentage charging.
Yeah.
The headline, I believe, was percentage charging firms are doomed for failure. Now, that's a headline I saw years ago, you know, but it got so much traction. It was read so well, loads of comments. So I think that's really interesting that we're still talking about things like this, but they're still so important.
Yeah.
And I missed all the consumer duty stuff while I was off, but obviously that is a really big focus of the consumer duty, is charging and fair value and things like that. So that was just quite interesting to read Tim's points on that. Linking it into, it's simply a variation on commission of the past, looking at, what will consumer duty do for this? Because how do you evidence the value of your charges if it's this kind of charging basis? And then the comments were interesting. I just wanted to highlight a few quotes from there. For example, don't think they're the real names that they comment under. Yeah. So I'm not going to name names.
Synonyms.
But yeah, one was suggesting a brewing bad advice scandal because the percentage fee for running cautious portfolios are bound to fall in value.
Uh-huh.
So is that maybe suggesting a pressure to increase risk in clients' portfolios?
Uh-huh.
And then Heather Hopkins from Next Wealth was interesting. She said our research suggests that percentage charge model is preferred with clients. I should state at this point that the new data that Tim's piece was sort of looking at was 81% of advisors charge on a percentage basis.
Right.
So it's still such a huge number.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Heather suggests a subscription fee perhaps for younger clients. So I thought that was quite interesting.
That.
Yeah, it just sounds quite common sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
With the way.
Yes.
Company they launched, that's on subscription, I think.
Oh, okay.
I've seen quite a few, like, I don't know, like innovative, like startup kind of advisors doing that model where they
that
have like
the
a subscription.
Way I would do it, but that yeah. is just because I don't have very much money.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, that's just like the world we live in. So, and also so much of what we do is like subscription based. So I think it makes sense. Mm. People used to laugh at the thought of like Netflix and now we're all
very
paying
true.
A monthly. Mm. So.
Used to buy DVDs.
Yeah. Literally,
videos.
Blockbuster laughed Netflix, the guys who pitched Netflix out of the room, and then look at them now. Mm-hmm. Where's Blockbuster? So that subscription-based model could be something that would be a game changer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see. Maybe get Chanel on to give her thoughts.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Sorry, not to cut across you there, but just when you were saying about things never change, but everything's mm-hmm. different, it just really reminded me of a weekend essay that I'm currently working on, but it will be published by the time this comes out. And it was off the back of a piece of research that said that only 35% of advisors' time is currently spent on
right.
face-to-face client meetings mm-hmm. or like client sort of face-to-face work. And about 65% is spent on compliance and regulation.
Right.
But then I was doing some research for this weekend essay and I came across a piece of research from 2000 which said pretty much the exact same thing, that advisors' sort of biggest gripe is compliance and mm-hmm. regulation and training issues. And I just thought it was really interesting because at that point, we still had the Financial Services Authority and I was 8 years old.
Wow. I did see someone comment something when that was put out that 35% is too much time to be spending.
Interesting.
I thought that was a really interesting observation. Like, I don't want to see them. I don't want to talk to my clients.
That's interesting. I haven't seen that one. I'll have to check it out.
I'll send you the link. But Momiji, what stood out for you in November?
I mean, I think mine was the state pension paper lock.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, which I covered.
Mm-hmm.
And
I know you talked about it a little bit last time.
So. Did I?
I think we touched on it a little bit.
Was that
was from
state?
Yeah, from
state. Yeah.
And that was in November, yeah?
Yeah. Sorry. Yes. No.
Yeah.
Continue.
I'm getting old. I think.
No, it's me.
Yeah, I think my memory. Yeah. And I think that was very good because given the economic challenges, you know, I mean, pensioners are kind of like vulnerable,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
So for him to retain, I mean, the pension triple lock was very timely, I think.
Yeah. I think last time we talked about the speculation that it would happen. I think that was one of the things that people were certain would move forward.
And I think that was also very wise, you know, because but in terms of people who would, I mean, for the conservative, I mean, they tend to be pensioners, you know, so that's their voting block.
Yeah.
So I think it's sensible not to, well let's see.
Mike, is there anything else that you might have covered or JB might have covered?
For the November MAG, JB did do the money marketing meets with Nordiska Delphus.
Yes.
So she was the outgoing chief executive of FOS, and he talked about to her about sort of her background, which is quite interesting because she worked at the FCA, mm-hmm. and also the backlog that they've had from COVID, mm-hmm. And how they're trying to kind of modernize their processes and get their caseload down and up to speed. Mm-hmm. So that was quite interesting, because even though she was only quite unquote interim, she's mm-hmm. actually introduced a lot of changes in her short time.
Yeah,
that'll be there long after, you know, she's gone and it's being taken on by her successor.
No, that sounds very interesting. She was very interesting. I did like go over that particular MM meets. I like the MM meets because it's like stories. I think I like people's stories anyway, so yeah. They're very inspiring. So she sounds like a very interesting lady, and I enjoyed that one. Was there anything else
in terms well, I guess for me, just the writing I was able to do was that I did a story on this month on Hartley Pensions. Mm-hmm. It's a SIPP provider which was stopped from taking on new business by the FCA.
Okay.
And there's some very, very interesting stuff.
Why were they stopped from taking new business? What did they do?
Well, there's something I'm working on at the minute.
It's complicated.
But it is really interesting, actually. Just I'm not going to go into it yet.
So is this going to be a possible cover feature for the...
It's a follow-up story. I want to try and get something in before Christmas.
Okay.
So
keep a lookout, guys.
So the thing was that an advisor told me that that their clients were being contacted by claims management companies to try and access their Hartley pensions, which are currently... sort of stuck in the company, which is being wound down, and an administrator is looking at it. So they're just going over the books to see what can be divided up, mm-hmm. what clients can potentially get. And off the back of story, there's some more stuff which has come through, which Lois has also reported on. I don't know if you want to pick that up and just explain that.
So the director of Hartley Pensions apparently sent out a letter to all the members of the scheme. Mm-hmm. Telling them that their value of their pension was likely to go down because it was going to be used to fund the company's administration. And then the FCA completely refuted those claims and said, that's just untrue. And the money in the pension at the moment is protected. So
there is more to come as well.
Okay. There is more to come.
There's going
to
be a part three and probably some more.
There you go. But that was,
Okay. I know that my knowledge of pensions isn't very good, but is that even legal for them to, can they do that if it were?
I don't think
so. Well, there's some stuff I'm looking into now. So
okay. There could be some loopholes.
So there's going to be, but it's very interesting.
Okay. No, that sounds interesting and scary for any other pensions that anyone might have. But let's move over to December. I love December. I'm a Christmas person. But we've also put the December issue to bed, which is also very exciting. You guys did it in record timing, I think.
And the cover by Leon. I've got to say, shout out to Leon, our editor. It's really, really very...
It's so good.
Very good. I think it's definitely...
If only we were on camera, Mike.
Yeah.
I'm just holding up. And I just realised we're not on camera.
Not this
but
one.
This is why you should have a hard copy of the magazine and you should subscribe and get it.
This is the plug to subscribe.
So because you can see the beautiful cover, but it's really, really good.
For anyone who might be a comic book fan, I would say this is our most comic book-esque cover. Yes, it really gives me the comic book vibes, like strong DC
Which does any particular character from the comic books that you think most gives you the vibe?
There's this guy with a hood, and he's like, you go inside it and you go to another universe. His cloak, I think he's called like the cloak, maybe.
But I'm holding up again.
It looks like a villain origin story cover, and that is kind of the
and
theme
the feature
of
itself
it.
Was very good.
Yeah. What was that?
The feature itself was very good as well.
Yeah. Yes, Momodou, do you want to talk a bit more? Give a little sneak preview into why we got such a great cover off the back of your writing?
Well, I don't want to give, detail. Yeah, just
just read it.
Yeah, I mean
just, the classic JB.
Oh my God, that would take so much time. Yeah, it's based on the Woodford saga, mm-hmm. you know? And I think that's one of the biggest, in the past...
Ongoing.
Past decade, you know? Pass like it, you know, where you have Neil Woodford, mm-hmm. An investment, Guru,
mm-hmm.
that was compared to Warren Buffett,
mm.
you know, so people kind of like believe in him and give him so much money.
Yeah.
But in terms of control or kind of like paying attention to what he was doing, oversight, you know, I mean, it was very, very poor. Mm-hmm. And so he made, some poor decisions, you know.
Yeah.
Did he end up like that other guy who ended up in prison?
Bernie Madoff.
So
Bernie
Madoff, yeah.
No, well, that one is different. That was a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah,
that was, yeah.
We're not saying he was doing a Ponzi scheme.
Yes, be careful.
In the interest of balance, he would argue that his fund shouldn't have been put into administration because it would have recovered.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
But it's his administrators put it into administration, Link Fund Solutions, and they're also being investigated.
Okay. I was just comparing him to Madoff in terms of fall from grace.
Yeah, fall from grace.
Not in terms of what they did.
Yeah, it's too different. Yeah, it's too different. I think that one was, definitely. Yeah, that one was. I mean, the Ponzi scheme. Well, this one was kind of like poor judgment, you know. Mm. Yeah, he made some poor judgment, you know. Yeah, I mean, but if you have time to read it, but it's a very detailed.
You should have time to read it.
Yeah, it's a very detailed. Well, they should. I think. Yeah, it's a very detailed. Exploration, of the subject, and we might just speak to all the key players. You know?
Yeah,
I'm already a really good piece narrative.
No, well, it's a team effort. Well, you know, I mean, as I keep saying,
team effort, but you're the one who sat down and wrote it.
People had done kind of like a prior, you know. Walking, so I think
he said people, but he's looking at me.
Well done, Luis.
But then, if you say that, then no one can ever take credit for anything in this world because it's like, well, I mean, I didn't create myself, I don't know where I came from. Like, let's not get all philosophical about it. Who else wants to talk about something they covered in December? I'm throwing it out there rather than saying a name this time.
Lois. I will,
yeah.
I wrote the In Focus feature for the December issue about vulnerable clients.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm not going to say very much about it, but it's basically asking, are advisors underestimating how many of their clients are vulnerable or in vulnerable circumstances, I should say, because a lot of people don't even recognize that they are in vulnerable circumstances. So they might say, no, I'm not, but actually they might be.
Yeah.
Interestingly, younger people are more likely to say they are in vulnerable circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe that's not that surprising. Doesn't really surprise me. so yeah, that's what it's about. And I will say more next month.
Okay. Well, no, it'll be next year.
Read it.
It'll be next year. Yeah, but yeah, definitely.
One thing that I'd like to mention, I know Amanda's not here, but we should definitely plug her. A very good money marketing meets with Ian McKenna.
It's really good.
Which is really good. and it kind of also not only gives you a history of sort of financial advice and services and Ian McKenna's career, but also sort of the history of money marketing a bit as well under previous editors. So it's really good and worth a read.
Yeah.
It goes really well with the cover.
That. Yeah, I've known Ian for years. It was so nice to read that piece. I think Amanda's done a great job.
Yeah.
So that will do well.
Yeah, I think also I have seen some feedback online from it. Some people really loved the fact that he talked about how his ADHD influenced his career.
Yes.
And how he's used it as a tool to be the entrepreneur that he is, which is super interesting to hear that perspective rather than it being like, oh, I have ADHD, it's a massive hindrance. It's like, no, actually, it's helped me to cultivate this in my career. So that I think that was one piece of feedback I heard from that piece.
Very true.
Yeah. Is there anything else you wanted to point out, Maria, from the December issue?
I just wanted to say I am grateful for all the lovely roundups of various beats in the December issue. So we've got a nice pensions roundup of the year, investments, consolidators. So that was handy for me. So thank you, guys.
Yeah, also a great way to catch up quickly.
Exactly. They're all good. They'll be coming out online over Christmas. We've got some good comic pieces in there. I love Graham Bentley's writing style. He's a really smart man. So I enjoyed his first piece when I was back. And that's actually looking at finding positives in upside down markets.
Okay.
So I think that's really nice to kind of end on. Let's think about the positives. Yeah. And it's been a hard year, hasn't it?
So we're going into a recession, but let's keep positive.
Can't wait to bring down the tone.
That was me being positive. I've changed my outlook. I'm no longer doom and gloom. I'm looking at the positives.
That's it. Yeah, it's all too doom and gloom. So if we can find some positive, let's focus on it.
I saw some people say that, like, in the last recession, they made their businesses that are now making them millions. So we could be those people.
Yeah, we probably won't. It could be.
But anything else you guys wanted to plug for December?
Yes, yeah. Not for December, but I was working on a news story recently about the network in partnership reportedly being up for sale. I don't know that everyone who was part of the network necessarily knew about. Mm-hmm. That was an interesting one. I did hear it from 4 separate people in the end, so I think it's probably true.
Okay. So is this something that you're going to be looking more into?
Yes. Well, I will see if anyone puts in an offer to buy it.
We'll be picking
I don't know what will have happened by the time this publishes.
Yeah. So. No, I mean, maybe it'll be something you have to pick up next year, 2023. More acquisitions, more mergers, more
consolidation,
more news for us.
I think I said in my leader, 2022 was the year of the consolidator, but I expect 2023 will be too. So,
when will it ever stop? Never. I guess we can come to an end. Thank you guys so much for sitting down with me and talking. And thanks, Maria, for joining us. Yeah, I hope you enjoyed your first time on our end of month podcast. Everyone can look forward to hearing our end of year podcast that will drop in a couple of weeks, and enjoy that over the Christmas period. But thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.